Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast. Coming at you mid end of week here with a minisode, a response, a follow-up to our Bat Pod versus Super Pod, the Pod of Justice episode. Apparently, some people like this movie. Skylar and I obviously did not. So we figured it'd be fair to bring on a dissenting opinion, and so we found the person who truly loves this movie. They saw it three times the opening weekend. A friend of Skylar's, who I will let introduce.
Yeah, this is my buddy Michael Perkins. He's very knowledgeable about movies. But more than a great movie buff, he's a great friend. And despite how he feels about Batman vs. Superman, I can assure you he's a pretty smart guy. And so, Michael.
Don't get soft on us,
welcome to the program.
Man, coming in hot, Skylar. Thanks. Glad to be here, guys. Big fan.
Michael, I've appreciated your tweets since the first day you sent them.
Yeah, you guys kind of have like a whole sparring thing.
Yeah, we've had some fiery exchanges.
So this is your first time talking to each other. It's kind of exciting.
It is. It is. And unsurprisingly, it's a movie in which we disagree.
Unsurprisingly, yeah. I feel we agree on a lot. You know, yeah. David, I respect you. But, you know, there are some times when you make my blood boil.
Yeah.
Where your opinion makes me furious.
So that's why we have Michael on. We don't want to just have an echo chamber podcast. We don't want to be Fox News or MSNBC. We want to see fair and biased. We want to be able to look at both sides.
I want this to be kind of a Fox and Friends format, though, if that's okay. Kind of that type of tone.
Yeah. I've seen the SNL sketches about Fox and Friends, so I think I know the show.
Oh yeah.
So we'll avoid talking about The Prestige, and other things like that. Let's you, Michael, get right into it. I honestly want to know what your expectations were going in. Like, were you a huge comic book fan? Do you know the stuff inside and out? Were you coming in as a Zack Snyder fanboy? So let me know what your expectations were. And then, I really want to know what you loved most about this film. So just let us hear it.
Okay, well, so I am a pretty big comic fan. I'm not probably the most rabid, you know, comic fanboy there is. I'm not a Zack Snyder fanboy, but I did enjoy Man of Steel. I thought Man of Steel, for all of its flaws, you know, was a very, very good Superman movie. You know, I feel like we get a lot of fluff on the Marvel side, and I felt like it was a much more substantive take, much more emotional movie for me than a lot of the other ones, so I was very excited for this. Very excited to see Ben Affleck. Very excited to see, you know, my favorite actor of all time, Jesse Eisenberg, just crushing it, you know. So I went into this, you know, with tempered expectations, though, you know, because I've been looking forward to this movie for like 3 years, and then it gets blasted by all the critics, you know, the week before. So, you know, I went in pretty much expecting to be disappointed and sad, and I was so happy that I wasn't, that I enjoyed myself a great deal.
Wow. Okay. Let's start from the top. You enjoyed yourself a great deal, which is a very strong statement regarding this film.
It is.
I too.
I think I love this movie, guys. I know it's not a popular opinion.
Yeah.
But I think I love it. I saw it for the third time today.
Okay.
And
why three times? Like, was it like there's so much to the plot that you needed to like sift through it? Was there a scene that you're so excited to see again?
Michael,
was it like,
how many times do you have to see this movie before you understand why Jesse Eisenberg does what he does?
Yeah,
like, will it be 30 times you have to see it
before, you know,
his motivations?
It may be another couple of times. Actually, I felt like his motivations were pretty straightforward. Is that one of the things you guys had a problem with?
Yeah, pretty much every character's
okay. Well, so here, let me tell you just kind of generally broad strokes what I really liked about it.
Go for it.
I mean, and there were a lot of things. I mean, so, and I'll caveat this by saying that it's not a perfect movie by any stretch. You know, it obviously has its flaws, and there are, you know, plot holes here and there.
It's no Ghost Protocol.
On the whole, I think it's, it's no Ghost Protocol or Rogue Nation, you know, or other Tom Cruise vehicles, like, don't far Google. And away, you know, flawless. So I thought this, I think Zack Snyder, for all his flaws as a director, he is a brilliant visual, you know, the way that he sets scenes up, the way that he blocks it, the lighting, you know, that first opening with Bruce Wayne and his parents getting killed and running away from the funeral. I mean, the imagery and symbolism of the gunshot breaking the chain and then her hand, you know, kind of coming over the Gotham grate. I mean, there's just so much in those first few seconds. I was just immediately sucked in. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the most beautiful superhero anything that I've seen on screen before. You know, so I was into it. And then I loved how they brought in the Man of Steel stuff, you know, right away. So seeing it from Batman's perspective, Bruce Wayne's perspective, and there's a lot of character building right from the start. You know, you see everybody else running away and he's running towards the destruction. I mean, he is, you know who he is right away. And it sets up beautifully, you know, like why he and humanity are so, you know, weary of an all-powerful alien, you know, who says that they're trustworthy now, but, you know, who knows? I mean, so Batman, I think this is the best depiction of Batman we've had on screen. I think Ben Affleck is probably the best Batman we've ever had. You know, the fact that we got a detective Batman.
I'm sorry, hold on. I just want to run that back real quick. So Michael Keaton, Christian Bale, I think largely considered the greatest Batman.
Will Arnett.
I mean, there's Will Arnett, Val Kilmer, and then and last place, George Clooney. Not his fault. You think Ben Affleck is better than Michael Keaton and Christian Bale?
Absolutely, I do.
Do you think Batman vs. Superman is better than any of the Christopher Nolan Batman films?
Those aren't the same things. I don't know about that. I think time will tell. I think they're so different that it's hard to compare them. But just like Christian Bale's Batman versus Ben Affleck's Batman, I mean, there's no question in my mind. I mean, Christian Bale was barely Batman, you know, in The Dark Knight Rises. Like, we barely got to see him as Batman in that series. And for as much as those did right, you know, they strayed so heavily from the comic book essence of it. I mean, this is like the actual comic book Batman, you know, on screen, you know, and I love the fact that it's not an origin story, that we see him fully developed, you know, late in his career, weary of the world, brutally violent as a reaction to the stuff that's going on. I love the tech that he uses. I love his, you know, back and forth with Alfred. You know, I love how the suit looks, all of it. So cool.
Speaking of Alfred, Jeremy Irons versus Michael Caine.
I like Jeremy Irons better. I mean, as much as I love the Michael Caine Alfred, and I love the way that he played that role, they're just like almost completely different characters.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, this Alfred is much more hands-on. This Alfred is much more involved in Batman's quest. You know, they're more partners. Michael Caine was always kind of, you know, the butler who was, you know, involved. I mean, he left, you know, in the last movie because he didn't want to be a part of it anymore. I mean, that's out of character for, you know, Batman quitting and Alfred quitting. Those are both out of character for those two. I mean, so I don't know.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, it is interesting. Like we said earlier, this will not be a debate. This is just a couple of curious guys got some questions. So Jesse Eisenberg did not ruin this for you in any way.
No, he didn't ruin it for me. I mean, I wouldn't say I loved his performance, but I did think Lex Luthor as a character in this movie was pretty good. I mean, he is a pretty scary villain, you know, when you compare it to the, you know, mindless robots that you see in other superhero movies or, you know, kind of generic, no backstory type of stuff. I mean, you know, we have never seen that kind of evil in a superhero movie that I really recall, maybe since Heath Ledger's Joker. I mean, kidnapping his mom and, you know, like throwing the pictures in his face and threatening to burn her alive. I mean, that's like diabolical stuff, man.
But why? Why does he do any of it?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same. Ultimately, what I think is interesting is that Lex and Bruce Wayne are kind of foils because they're basically responding to the same event. You know, Superman coming on the scene makes them both afraid and makes them both feel uneasy in their powerlessness. You know, and I think you get a glimpse into it throughout, you know, Lex's, you know, dialogue, but when he's giving the speech about how, you know, it's paradoxical that, you know, people with knowledge don't have power. I mean, ultimately, you know, he is looking for power, you know, because he doesn't want to be in a world where he can just be completely, you know, overrun by a Superman. And ultimately, Batman is afraid of the same thing, you know, like, I love that monologue, you know, where Jeremy Irons is saying, you know, you're going to destroy the kryptonite, right? And he's like, this guy's not our enemy. He's like, yeah, not now. You know, we know what promises are worth. You know, people don't stay good. I mean, so it's just, it's really interesting because they're very, I think, reasonable responses to the presence of an alien who has the power to, you know, kill everyone if he wanted to. There's not a lot that you could do to stop him.
So if you were confronted with an opportunity to kill an alien that had the power to just wipe out all of us, and in that moment you learn that you both share, I guess your moms share the same name, would that be motivation for you to not take that alien's life?
Yeah, I mean, because now we're totally best friends. That's obviously how that works.
How... Honestly, are you okay with that, though? Like, that scene? I mean, is that...
Did you buy it? So I guess that doesn't work for you guys. You guys didn't like that part, that the Martha
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, that was one way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you both didn't like that?
We hated it.
Okay. See, I love that. I loved it. You know, I see what you're saying, you know, like how you're kind of taking a jab at it. But, I mean, it's... You know, he's kind of made Superman into this thing in his mind, and suddenly when learning that he is also a guy who cares about his mom, it, you know, turns him into a person again. You know, the fact that they, you know, it's something that he's able to connect on. I mean, that felt a lot to me like the emotional climax of the film, you know, Batman realizing, you know, that maybe things weren't as simple as he had thought.
Okay, well, why does
or as simple as
I get teary.
Or
that makes me teary eyed.
Well, considering his motivation, and look, I can partly buy the motivation of like there's this alien, even if there's a 1% chance of him wiping out everybody, like of just being really, really cautious and skeptical, and like I get that. What I felt like was over the top and gratuitous was them feeling like that wouldn't be enough for the audience, so they have Bruce Wayne go into this weird dystopian fever dream where he sees a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't totally make sense, and then he wakes up and he's no longer dreaming, but some of the stuff is still happening. And like, how did you interpret that scene? Did you feel like it really fit? Did you buy into that being real motivation for Bruce Wayne to go after him, only for that motivation to be undone by them having a share mom with a common name?
Well, I mean, the dream sequence is weird, right? I mean, I think most people was put off by that. I mean, I even thought the action in that scene was a little bit off. You know, it wasn't as good as some of the other in the movie. I mean, so I wasn't a huge fan of that. I mean, but I also know what it is. You know, it kind of sets up a lot of stuff in the DC universe and means a lot of things for what's coming next. You know, and so it raises a lot of questions. And so the thing that I find interesting about that is just, you know, what it sets up. I mean, I guess the other part of your question, you know, like, is it enough just to hear her name? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like, you know, Alfred's speech where he's talking about, you know, like he basically describes the whole thing that Bruce is going through, you know, you feel powerless, the rage turning you cruel. I mean, because it's hard to really feel good about what Batman's doing when he's just kicking the crap out of Superman, especially because you know what Superman is kind of dealing with at that moment. And so it feels, you know, almost more reasonable for him to be broken out of that kind of fit of rage and be more, I don't know, be more open to what else might be going on. Mm. I mean, but there is a lot. I mean, there's a lot of things that Bruce, I mean, the Wayne Tower being destroyed, you know, the Capitol building blowing up, all this stuff is his experience. I mean, I can understand why he'd be scared.
Okay. So Skylar and I both are in agreement that we want a Batfleck movie, like a standalone. Would have much preferred it before this one. But are you similarly in hopes of having a Batman standalone with Ben Affleck? Are you totally on that train? Is that what you want to see next?
Yeah, of course. I mean, and I hope he gets to direct it too. I mean, I think he's writing it right now with Jeff Johns.
If he could direct it, that'd be great. So yeah. I am curious a little bit just to get a sense for like your love for the DC universe versus Marvel, I guess, in this case. Did you think this film was better than the Avengers, the first one?
Yeah, I think it is in a lot of ways. I mean, I think time, you know, is kind of important to me because the way I felt when I came out of the Avengers movie the first time is very different than how I feel about that movie now. I think that the Marvel movies are not going to have as long a shelf life as something as Batman v Superman. I feel like a lot of those kind of aim low and hit the mark and are, you know, enjoyable enough but very forgettable experiences. I feel like there's a lot more meat on the bones on something like Batman v Superman. It's much more emotionally weighty for me as far as what people are dealing with, you know, like what is happening. Yeah, I mean, and just the level of craft on the filmmaking side, I think trumps almost everything that Marvel is doing. I mean, they don't have anything that looks this good or action this good. I mean, you could maybe talk about...
Go I ahead. Hate the aesthetics of this movie. Sorry.
Yeah, it looks... I think the actual look itself is one of the really, really, really egregious errors.
Like, I just didn't like looking at it.
Okay, you guys don't like the...
It's... Yeah. Like, oh, my gosh. You mentioned that you like Batman's suit.
Why?
And, like, I could agree with you, but I don't really know what it looks like. Because I never really see anything. Like, there's no establishing shots the entire movie. Like, we never know where we're going during the fight scenes. Like, it's so chaotic, and there's so, like, the visuals of it are so blah. I just, it's like the colors are, I'll admit the colors are better than Man of Steel. Like, it's not quite as unsaturated,
but it's still washed out. It's still like,
but it's still washed out, and like, it's so dark, and having the fight happen when it's raining at night is just so passe. Like, get over yourself. We get it.
Yeah. Yeah, like no one fights in the rain. We'd all go inside and wait for it to stop.
Or maybe it doesn't rain every day.
That's a good point. I think you guys...
These movies look really bad.
Okay, so you guys don't think that visually this movie is amazing?
I would much rather watch Guardians. I know I keep saying Guardians of the Galaxy, but Guardians of the Galaxy is 1 million times more attractive to look at. The colors... The shots, everything about it.
Just because of the colors?
No, that's a big part of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The color cinematography. Palette is incredible. Like, WALL-E looks a million times better than this. WALL-E looks a lot better than almost every movie. Okay, that's not a great example. Like, Captain America. Even Thor. Thor is a better looking movie than this.
I totally disagree. I mean, so color palette is one thing. I mean, but if you look at the craft and what he's doing as a director, you know, the way he's setting up shots, the way he's using the camera, you know, the way he blocks and frames a scene, I mean, it's really, really high level stuff. Okay. I mean, a lot of the Marvel movies almost feel like they're done by TV directors. You know, like it's the kind of thing that you see on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, with maybe a couple exceptions. I mean, I think... Winter Soldier, you know, kind of takes it a step up in certain ways. And, you know, some of the other ones have moments. I mean, but even Avengers, you know, because Joss Whedon kind of brought a TV aesthetic to it. I mean, this feels epic and huge in a way that I feel like some of the Marvel movies don't capture.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. So so this is, I think this is the crux of where we disagree, because a lot of the points, the other points that, or I should say the positives that you feel about it, even if I feel negative, I still feel kind of like I can understand why someone would like that. I don't strongly disagree, but the look of these films is where, I mean, that's where for me, so much of this has gone wrong. It's chaotic. The continuity is, it's like all over the place. It's hard for me to have any sense of placement.
So when you say it's chaotic, what do you mean?
His block, like the way, even though you brought up like the way he blocks and frame shots, as a positive. And for me, that was like strong negative.
So give me an example.
With Doomsday was awful. Hated the fight scene with Doomsday.
Yes. I had a hard time knowing where I was, what perspective I was looking at it from, what was going on. Like it's as if they get in there. Zack Snyder does this in a lot of his stuff where he'll get in there and he'll shoot and shoot and shoot and hope he got it. And then in the editing room, you're piecing something together that feels like, whoops, like this, we missed a couple shots here. And that's putting it very, very mildly. That's how I feel like every one of those action sequences are. I'm just like, what is this? And then, of course, he adds like the sepia tone and it pulls the color out and becomes more joyless than the story already was.
No, there's no joy in these movies. That's something, yeah, Michael. There's no joy in these movies.
Like nothing. No fun, no happiness, nothing.
And I get that that's what it's going for. Like the DC is trying to create this more serious universe, but I want joy.
We just got that with Christopher Nolan. He did the whole serious, but still was able to have fun. There's some, at least some level of fun to that.
Yeah, Maggie Gyllenhaal. She's fun.
Exactly. That was a huge joke on all of us.
We had to look at her. No, I'm sorry. I like Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Like, that's not Katie Holmes.
What are you doing? Is this a different person?
But, like, seriously.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, please.
Well, so, I mean, the lack of fun, I feel like, is more a statement of preference and what you're going to the movies for, rather than, you know, saying this movie is bad.
Well,
you know, because it's like, I came to a drama and I was expecting, you know, something more lighthearted. Well, you know, that doesn't feel like a fair knock against the movie to me.
You make a fair point, except these are superhero films based on comic books of all varieties. Yes, there are dark comic books. I understand that. But like this, I don't need to have it fun. Like Batman and Robin is fun. Like, haha, Arnold Schwarzenegger is the Freeze, and holy crap, is that Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy? Like, I don't need to have that kind of fun. I don't need to be laughing out loud fun, but I need to enjoy the ride. Like, even on just the basic level, like, enjoy what's happening. And that there was none of that.
That's so weird, because I'm just sitting there and I like enjoy pretty much the whole thing.
Wow.
You know, there's just so much of it that is just pleasurable viewing for me. I mean, and probably stuff that you guys hate, you know, like Bruce Wayne walking in the field with the flowers. Uh-oh. You know, I just think that stuff is beautiful, man. Like, and I love, you know, the way that he used the colors. I mean, I guess it is a little bit darker and maybe drab, but I think for me, ultimately, I like that they're taking it more seriously. And I like the Marvel stuff too. I like that both exist. You know, like I think they'd be losing a lot if they, you know, took that approach. I mean, because I really think that's a strength, that they are taking this material much more seriously. I mean, because The Dark Knight Returns, you know, Batman Year One, I mean, some of these stories are very, very dark. And if you really look at what's happening in the world, I mean, there is so much, you know, there's just such weighty themes that you can't just treat lightly about. I mean,
I guess you're right. There are weighty themes with what's going on. I mean, the Brussels thing had just happened. And maybe I'm watching another bomb go off in the Capitol building, right? And I realize that they have nothing to do with that, and that I'm not knocking them. They obviously have no idea. They filmed this last year. But like, yeah, I guess maybe the escapist in me wanted to watch a superhero movie, and what I got was more bombing and more sadness and more despair. And that's just not Batman. It's not Superman. It's like hope. You know,
can I make a point, though? about just this taking itself very seriously. Like, so these movies take themselves very seriously, and I think because of that, you get this backlash that you're seeing critically, where this movie tries so hard to be high-minded and to be this, like, just big idea. And, like, I think Ben Affleck said that, like, he read it and he's like, this is too smart for me. Like, I think when you try and do that in a superhero movie, it raises the bar for what people expect, and you're going to get a lot of people who are very disappointed. And so I think if you try and make a Guardians of the Galaxy, you have a lower bar that you're trying to jump over, because you're just trying to get some laughs. You're trying to, like, cool, tell a fun story.
Yeah.
Like, you're not taking yourself too seriously. I think this movie tries to take itself so seriously that even if it had been a lot better, it still would have fallen short of expectations.
Okay, now...
I agree with you, but I see that almost like a point, you know, for my argument, you know, because Guardian of the Galaxy is not the right comparison, because there's no expectations for that. In fact, everybody thought it was kind of a weird, you know, quirky comic that nobody had really read, and everyone was kind of expecting it to be bad. So then when it came and you know, actually was good, you know, everybody was like, okay, wow, you know, that's great. I mean, and like you said, it's not really aiming for anything that lofty or that important, you know, even that emotionally resonant. I mean, so... it is a very different ball game. But I don't know, maybe you're right. Maybe they did shoot themselves in the foot, because obviously people had the wrong expectations going into this movie. And I think that's at the heart of the critical backlash. Yeah. I mean, because I think it's very hyperbolic to say that this is a bad movie as far as how it's shot and how it's, you know, choreographed or even how it, you know, moves forward. I think that's just hyperbolic. I mean, because it's if you look at other movies that have higher Rotten Tomato scores, I mean, do you want to argue that Paul Blart Mall Cop is a better movie than Batman v Superman?
The first one?
The first one's not a bad movie.
The first one's not a bad movie. I had a blast. That was great.
I enjoyed Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 more. Or I enjoyed Paul Blart Mall Cop 1 more than I enjoyed Batman versus Superman.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
I would rather watch Paul Blart than Mall Cop.
And I dare I say the cinematography also might be better.
I saw some Dutch angles in Paul Blart Mall Cop too.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
With the segue with Blart.
So to me that says way more about you guys than it does about this movie, you know, cuz it becomes about preference, you know, cuz I think a lot of people maybe were hoping for something else, were maybe wishing for something else, or maybe just, you know, don't like this kind of movie. Well, you know, but I think that's different.
If you agree with us,
this is a bad.
If you agree with us and disagree with Michael, tweet hashtag Team BLP, hashtag Team BLP. If you agree with Michael, just don't tweet. Just shut off your Twitter, deactivate it.
Tweet him Paul Blart.
Hashtag Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
I will say this quickly though. In your defense, Michael, or I guess this is more in response to what Skylar was saying, I won't knock a film for going for it. I mean, I do think it takes guts to go for it.
Yeah.
A lot of people did not like Interstellar, which is a film that I absolutely adore. And I adore it for a lot of reasons, but part of it is its ambition, and we just don't see movies like that anymore.
But see, I think it succeeded. Like, that's what I love about Interstellar.
That's what I love about it.
It went for it, and it succeeded.
There are a couple things that, you know, there are minor quibbles I understand people have with it, but because of how it shot for, you know, the stars, and it got there, in my opinion. It mostly got there.
Now,
this, I will not knock them for going for it, right? But they didn't even, like, they shot for the stars, and they didn't even, like, get out of this atmosphere. Like, they didn't even get close to the moon, right? Like, they're grounded at
Kennedy
Space Center right now. Yeah.
And Superman had to joylessly save it. He was so sad he had to save that
rocket.
It
blew up in the Capitol while NASA was trying to argue to get more funding, right? Like, that's where it ended.
Do you remember how emotionless he was when the Capitol blew up? And he's just like, oh, brother.
I wanted him to turn to the camera and be like, politicians, am I right?
He's like, Granny's peach tea. Delicious.
Now, this is... Okay, my final real serious point here, at least mine. You're welcome to say whatever.
I have a heart out in like a minute, so
okay. If you could... All right, this is my final point. We just got a very high-minded, self-serious Batman movies from one of the greatest directors alive. We just got that. So now we have another version that's attempting to do the same thing, only on such a lower like quality level, really, really missed out. Like we just got the best version of this that we're likely ever going to get. Why are they trying to do this again and have Superman and everyone else involved? That's what I felt like it was from the get-go, was a bad idea to do it now. Not ever, but to do it now. I think tackling Batman versus Superman is a story that with great power comes great responsibility. I think that's a movie that people have been wanting to see for a long time. And I think that what they delivered was just an enormous pile of crap. But I'm happy to have Michael come on and bring up his points. And some of them fair. Some of them I just obviously disagree with, but we do appreciate the time you took to actually come out here and articulate that. There are people that you're not alone. I have a lot of friends that texted me and said, like, I don't get it. It wasn't that bad. You're crazy. Like, I actually enjoyed it. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm well aware of that. I think the critics, obviously, I follow a more line with them, while the audience seems to enjoy it quite a bit more. Anyway, that's all I got. Skylar?
That's it for me. Thank you, Michael, for coming. I love you.
Yeah, man, thanks.
Keep supporting the show.
Thanks for the chat.
Great, brave little debut. It really was. So
probably not your last
time. We do end these episodes a certain way. And I figured let's do it all together.
Let's do it.
So as we say, hold on to your butts.
Ooh.
Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.
Also, go see Barbershop The Next Cut. This episode was brought to you by Barbershop The Next Cut, Ice Cube's newest adventure into comedy.